All right, everybody, we're back. It's your boy Roger. I'm here with my good buddy Jake Zatoli. We kind of linked up in a very different way.
Yeah.
Like over a dinner, and nothing transpired with it.
Yep.
But it was still great meeting you, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if anything was going to transpire, but
well, nothing.
We're
did.
Still here.
We don't need to dig into that. But yeah, no, I'm glad we met. But I just recently saw you in Cleveland.
Yep, I did. Yep.
And what was going on up there?
So we had a MGK day. That was kind of. It was probably like a couple months into when I started working with them, but Kels brought me out there, got to see kind of everything that was going on in Cleveland. That was my first time there. And then now we're planning for the next one. So it's a good entry into kind of starting to work with them. And definitely nice to know all the fans. You know, the fan base definitely originates in Cleveland. So it was a good time.
What got you rolling with Kels and that whole situation?
So I came down to LA, it's like almost 3 years now, 3 years in January, but came down with...
Where are you from originally?
Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah, born down here and then grew up in Seattle. So Kels and I, after my time at Amazon Music, which is what brought me down here from Seattle, I just saw Kels out at like, I think Delilah was the first time. Was going to give him some pieces from my clothing line, which I'm still about to launch. It's just been, I've been in clothing and entertainment and music and stuff for a long time, probably since I was like 14 years old. So, Kels and I met there originally, and then I was working with Lil Durk last year, and I bounced into him like 3 or 4 times, and he's just always been a super cool dude, and we became friends first, and then he was like, come meet Andre and the rest of the crew at his house, and just kind of started the business stuff from there. So
I saw when you guys were doing the Lonely Road music video with Jelly Roll, and I was so fucking jealous.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that is so fucking cool, dude.
Yeah.
To be part of that. And that song is like so hard. And
Shout out to Jelly, too. He's the man. I've already heard that on so many podcasts because he's literally like, one of the coolest people I've met, to be honest. Jelly Roll is the man.
This podcast is brought to you by the Vecmar Corporation. Vecmar, introducing Cashmatic Visual Pay and Cashmatic Self Pay. Visual Pay is an intuitive model and versatile all-in-one ordering system and payment system. It'll allow each retailer to configure the solution best suited to their business and make it available to customers who can conveniently choose, order, and pay directly to the Visual Pay. Decrease shrinkage problems with Cashmatic self-pay and take the cash out of your employees' hands with the new Cashmatic self-pay.
Yeah, I just, I loved seeing you up there because, it hits home for me. I'm from Cleveland, of course. So to see somebody I know being a part of it, number one, a big part of it, working kind of behind the scenes, you know, with everything. And then on top of that, for you to get to experience MGK Day, which this year, I mean, I think has been the biggest year for it. I don't think it was
definitely
ever been that big.
I literally, right before I came here, I was finishing up this kind of pitch deck we're doing for sponsorships and kind of laying out all the different days that it'll be next year, and it's going to be insane. Like, once I get to put my final touches on it, it's going to be something to – it's going to be groundbreaking, to be honest.
Did you get to meet – Jacqueline and Jake Schiffman? They were like part
Jake
of organizing.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Are they part of like the
27 Club?
Oh, 27
They do
Club,
a lot of stuff with them.
Yeah.
And I had lunch with them the other day. I grew up with Jacqueline. She was like one of my first friends.
Yep.
And I was like, yo, do you know Jake? And they're like, oh, yeah, we met Jake. And I was like, oh, dope. And I was like, yeah. I was like, that was a whole situation.
Yeah, I know the main guy over at 27 Club, Troy. He's kind of the manager of all the stuff, but I feel like I've met both them too.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So you grew up in Seattle. You were born here. You grew up in Seattle. What was like the, I mean, I know you kind of do a lot of different things, but like from a music standpoint, that was really where you got started with it, right? And why? Like
With MGK?
No, just in general. Just in general when you were growing up.
Oh, growing up, for sure. Yeah. So my very first clothing line. We had, it was me and my buddy. He started it originally, and then I was in high school and actually had a couple of the shirts, and I hit him up. I'm like, dude, I love the shirts. I want to come bring in some more designs and blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, pull up to the shop. So he had the shop in Pioneer Square, which is like famous area of Seattle, kind of down from like the fish market and stuff that most people know, the Pike's Place Market.
Yeah, 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 of course.
But yeah, he had a shop down there and was just printing shirts, and they said the Northwest, and it looked like the North Face logo. And it, like, Seattle's not really the most fashionable place in the U.S., obviously, but it's kind of like a lot of hipsters and outdoorsy people, and I love Seattle, but they don't really care about what you're wearing at all. And I always kind of had an interest in the fashion world and kind of getting to do more and more stuff within that space. So we came out with some designs. It was kind of like plays off of the Sonics logos and stuff, just still using like that North Face branding. Yeah. But we had a studio underneath the shop, and shout out my buddy Otis, but he's kind of the one that like really laid the groundwork. Him and Benny, my like business partner at the time, they were best friends, and Otis was just really heavy into music. Benny was a DJ, and they had like every vinyl record you could imagine, and they're like the old school type DJs that actually use vinyl instead of just the computer. So I just had like a really nice groundwork for like hip-hop especially, and then being able to appreciate every single type of music. So that was like really the beginning of everything in Pioneer Square with those two guys. So we kept building the clothing brand. We would have like every first Thursday in Seattle, they have these art walks. So it's basically like where a bunch of different art studios in Seattle would have like these little pop-up shops. You can go in and drink wine, blah, blah, blah. But we had our own, and it was just bumping every time, like with a ton of different people in there. And then we were selling the merch and all that.
How dope is that when it's your stuff? Just like people are buying it. People are like, yo, this is so dope. And it's like your hard work that you put in.
For sure.
What's that feel like? That's probably crazy, huh?
It's cool. Like, we came out with a couple of designs when I first started with him. And like the first couple of times I would see people wearing them, like me grabbing pizza somewhere totally separate in the city and they're wearing it, it was like, all right, I like that feeling. I want to keep doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Was there somebody, like, particular maybe that inspired you in the fashion space?
I would say that didn't.
Or like a style maybe that really did it for you?
Honestly, when I was younger, it was probably just, like, my grandma. She really was, like, super fashionable and, like, super cool lady, and she always would take us shopping and whatnot. So that was, like, really the like first steps for me to get into it. And her best friend's son, he was doing a bunch of stuff, I want to say, with like skateboarding and zoomies and stuff. And I was talking to my grandma at first of like, how do I get into this clothing stuff, because I know your friend's son does it. And she was like the first one that actually gave me my first connection with like how to make t-shirts and do all that type of stuff. And then the Northwest thing came a little bit after, probably like a year after she died and after she gave me the connection to that. But she really laid the groundwork. And then I would say once I got into college, I really started paying a lot of attention to it. And like, I'm not really somebody to follow specific people or specific brands very much, but I just like really appreciate creativity as a whole and like can recognize a quality product when I see it,
right?
Or quality design. But if we're gonna say favorite designer, it's definitely Virgil. Like,
yeah he was legend. unbelievable.
Yeah
he put together some of the craziest shit even to this day.
And then probably favorite brand, like my very first graphic t-shirt, my mom still has it in like this keepsakes box, but Stussy, because I grew up in down in Carlsbad, so it's like I don't know, 3 hours away from here down south,
San Diego area.
Yeah, San Diego. So you know, the whole surfer vibe, all of that stuff, like in the 90s.
It is such a surfer vibe down there. I interviewed, for sure. I interviewed Alex Sorgente down in Carlsbad, and I interviewed Poopies from the Jackass movie down there.
I remember we were in Cleveland and he was going to kick. That was Zach Ass. Was going to kick him in the balls.
Yeah, Zach Ass up there.
Yeah.
God, oh, I just talked to Zach Ass. That was Zach Ass.
Poopies, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's Poopies actually got me a link to Zach Ass, and then Zach Ass and I became boys. But yeah, shout out Zach Ass. He's working at Target now. Yeah.
What's he doing there?
Right, it's just the movie industry, bro.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like weird how that shifts, right?
Yeah.
And we had a good dialogue about that yesterday. A lot of people, when they're doing something, they're really good in a certain space, and then they kind of delegate elsewhere.
Yep.
For you, your ability with the merchandise and then your ability to network is fucking incredible, bro.
For sure.
Is there like how the fuck did you get so good at networking? Because you're like, bro, I mean, right place, right time, maybe sometimes, but like you're not... You haven't fallen into that kind of a situation. I mean, it's a skill.
Yep. No, it's definitely a skill. I mean, when it came to me at Amazon Music, I think my first couple weeks of working there, I ordered business cards, and everybody else on my team was like, how the fuck did you get business cards? Because I was at ComplexCon with the Amazon Music cards and, like, just always thinking different, trying to build the connections. And, like, honestly, with networking, it's like, you'll build that initial friendship with them, but some will fizzle out. And then the ones that stay are really people that you'll rock with for like a long period of time. Yeah. You know, like Jeff Hamilton's a great example. But yeah, I mean, you find people that you can work well with and then make shit happen, you know?
Yeah, I've had that same experience with the podcast, too.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly what you just said. You're going to meet some people, some are going to fizzle out.
Yep, you'll even have their number, but it's like, you know, you can only reach out so much.
So for you now, then, what exactly, what does your day-to-day look like right now?
Right now, it's creative planning for everything MGK. So, like, we were just in Vegas for Travis Scott's ComplexCon, which was insane. Like, I love how people put together that many pieces and still, like, I wasn't the biggest Travis Scott music fan. It's grown on me. Like, he's got his hits here and there. Just, I'm not one of those young kids. It's like a diehard Travis Scott fan.
Yeah.
But the merch stuff has always blown me away. Like, his collaborations he does, the cadence of the drops, being able to have your own ComplexCon, like, it's pretty impressive. So, that's kind of what I'm trying to translate into MGK's world, who's a artist that most artists can't really even touch, you know, like in my opinion. I wasn't the biggest fan of his either before, but the more and more I get integrated into his world, I'm like, I'm working with a legend because he's spanned so many different music genres. The way we're working for the future is like, he's still grinding like
nobody else.
Yeah, like he hasn't done anything, you know? So it's like...
Is that rare to see, like, from your standpoint, because you've known so many different people in so many different spaces, whether they're celebrities or they've gotten really big and then fizzled out or even stayed big. Is that kind of impressive for you to look at now?
It's definitely impressive. Like, I feel like I'm lucky to have found... working with him in LA out of so many other artists that I could work with, you know, like just his drive to keep wanting to make something better than the last, I think is impressive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What's the, so you're doing, you said you were going to do, you're doing clothing on your own. You have your own situation.
Yeah, I have my own line. I'm going to drop next year.
Okay.
It's been cooking for a little while. I've got like jewelry, bunch of different pieces, just trying to figure out a way to make it, not trying to figure out, but waiting on the moment where it's all how I actually want to launch it. And I know that's like a big creative fault for a lot of people of just like holding on to shit and not completely or not continuously launching it.
Right.
Yeah, he's got one of the T's on right now.
Oh, no shit.
But yeah,
that's
I mean,
dope.
My... my work in just like production and clothing, music, stuff like that for a long time. It's just like I can't drop anything that's not of high quality.
What goes into like creating? I know. I only actually know one other person that's ever done like clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good buddy of mine. He actually is one of our sponsors on the podcast. Shout out Aura Watch.
Yep. You were telling me about that.
Yeah. I got more for you on that one too.
Oh yeah.
But you'd be a great person to connect with Matt.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's
the owner of that?
Yeah, he actually started, you ever heard of Dope Clothing or Minimal?
Sounds familiar.
He started that. He sold it a couple years ago.
Yep. Dope is just one of those names. I'm like, I think I've heard of it and seen the pieces, but it also could be a tee that just bootleg.
Just says dope.
Yeah.
He owns the company and kind of started it out. I think probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
Yep.
And we've been rocking with this. Yeah, man. Check it out. We've been rocking with these. I got a couple more in the other room, too. Menace has got one on.
That's hard.
Yeah, and they're nice. It's
got the, like, AP face.
Exactly. And that, like, the kind of the goal of it is to have, like, a high-quality, nice watch, but I mean, not something that's going to cost you. AP. Like, that thing's...
With the back little...
Yeah. I think that one's, like $600 or something like that.
Dope.
So it's, like, nothing too crazy. But yeah, I definitely want to show you some more stuff on that.
For sure.
But for you, like, where's the creativity come from? Like, what's the inspiration behind the stuff you're creating?
I think through being in production, all that stuff in the past, it's like, I don't want to create more trash in the world. Like, I also went to apparel school in college, did apparel and then also marketing. But in general, it's like the world we live in is would rather buy like a $5 t-shirt that's going to rip apart in a month rather than something they pay way more for that they can pass on to like a vintage store and will never deplete. So like I also worked at this skate shop in Seattle for a little bit as an intern. My buddy Rio, he does like all this vintage picking. He's definitely the vintage OG and Seattle, he's got this spot called Throwbacks Northwest. So, like, if you're in Seattle looking for clothes, that'll be definitely the top thing that shows up. So he kind of taught me the vintage picking stuff, and you just see how nicely things were made back in the day, and it hurts me to see a lot of the things that are made now.
Yeah.
And just, like, no detail, lack of attention to detail, bad quality, things like that. So I just try to do the opposite, you know, like... If I'm going to make products and be in that space in my life, like, why the fuck would I want to make something that's just going to go in the garbage?
Yeah, you want it to reflect on, like, what you're doing and, like, what you feel and stuff like that.
Yep.
You're, like, one of the most positive people I've ever met from Seattle because I feel like everybody I met from Seattle has, like, come from, like, a depressed space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. People get, like, super down there. It's just cloudy all the time, which I understand, but a lot of people there are also... In that corporate thing that I did work at Amazon and everything, but I didn't want to be there long, you know, like all the people that still work there and I'm friends with, like they knew that when I was working there, that's why we're still friends. And they kind of knew what my move was, but I brought energy and excitement and collabs and all the shit to like a corporate environment that's just not used to that. So it kind of shook things up for them when I was there and in a positive way. But, that's like a lot of Seattle. Like I think people are just clocking in the morning, getting done by the time it's getting dark there, damn near just cloudy. Like the sun is definitely important for humans in general.
Yeah. You probably notice that more than most because you were up there for so long. Yeah. Is that so the majority of people in Seattle then are from what you're telling me, they work in a corporate setting, whether it's like an Apple or an Amazon or some shit like that, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Amazon, like, they revitalized a huge and built an entire part of Seattle that wasn't there. And, like, a lot of the areas in Seattle are along the water, but they built this entire, like, little city there. I don't know if you've seen that glass sphere.
Yeah.
That shit... Tons of office buildings down there, like it's just like its own little city. During COVID, it was so depressing, though, like just dead. Because other than their buildings and stuff in that area, it's like nobody's living down there, like really doing shit, you know? But
yeah.
There's definitely a lot of people that do other things in Seattle. I wouldn't say corporate is the only thing, but I think the main thing, people need sun. Like growing up in California until I was 13, that's just how I grew up. And then being in Seattle, it was great, you know, like learning how to drive a car, smoke weed, find your friends in high school.
Learning how to smoke weed is important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So grew up in Seattle, but I think at the end of the day, it's like, I need to come back to where I'm from.
Did you notice, like, when you first went up there, I know you were younger and this is a little while ago, but did you notice that when you first went back there, you're like, yo, like, where's the sun?
No, I think I was too young. I was like 13. So I'm just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah, you just roll with the punches. You're just too chill.
Yeah.
Jake's just too chill for his own fucking good sometimes,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So during COVID, out of all the times to come back to LA, is obviously, like we said, it's a little ridiculous because pretty much everything in Los Angeles at that time was shut down.
Yeah, I think.
Did that make you nervous, though?
Not really. Like, I moved. Whenever I travel and go anywhere, I'm always like, no sleep. Let's go see what the city has to offer. I don't give a fuck if I have to walk. Like, I'd rather walk rather than take a cab. Here, it's obviously different. You know, you figure that out quick. It's like, everything is so far apart from each other. But I think there was like a little bit of like that, what the fuck is going on here? Because everybody was like, move over to Hollywood, West Hollywood. You'll have a good time. It's a good place to like start living in LA. And I would walk around and I'm like, why the fuck isn't there anything going on? You know, like I'm expecting parties to be jumping, but there's nothing.
No, dude, everybody's just standing in the club trying to look cool.
Yeah, except there wasn't even that much going on. It was, 2021?
Yeah.
So, like, right after COVID, and it was, I think I just kind of missed the heyday for Hollywood, which is disappointing, but it's also, like, kind of put a fire in me to, like, still care about LA and, like, try to bring some shit out of here instead of just be depressed because COVID happened. I see more opportunity in it rather than, like, oh shit, everything's dead, like fuck LA. It's like, no, we're in LA, like let's make some shit happen because LA is one of the biggest places in the world, biggest cities in the world, so like it's not gonna be dead forever. Let's be a part of that, you know?
I think that's where a lot of people, when they come out here, they think like that and then the fire fizzles sometimes.
Yeah.
What keeps that for you? Like, what is that burning desire to be amazing? Because like you're one of those people, like I think I've noticed even just throughout this conversation that like you're not doing this just to be like, oh, like I'm Jake, I'm really good at what I do, but it's not that. It's you're sitting here going like, oh, like I want to create something in this space that's just amazing for everybody.
Yeah,
it's like an unselfish thing.
Yeah, I mean I say I'm always a student and I'll be a teacher when I have to be. You know, but I prefer being a student. I love learning. And, like, the more and more I work and shit happens in my life that I don't really think twice about, you know, like, people would be like, damn, that's so cool. You work with MGK and stuff. But it's starting to just become more and more normal to me. Like, I'd rather just, like, make an impact to people in a positive way and have that be how it is. You know, like, I don't want to not talk to somebody because I'm too good for them or like any of that shit. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd rather just, especially with younger generations and stuff, like I'd rather teach, let's get more cool shit and more quality things going instead of have it fizzle out, you know?
I've noticed that too. Is that something that you, has that been hard to navigate for you at all out here as far as keeping yourself kind of humble in that space when you are working with true legends of whether and because you're working with legends in multiple spaces, it's not just music,
for sure,
you know what I mean? Like it's not just clothing, right? You're working in all kinds of different spaces. Has that been hard to kind of keep your mental a little bit? Because let's be real, bro, you're working with some fucking cool people. And on top of that, you're dope.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Has that been hard at all or not really?
Not hard, no. Literally, no. It's more, I would say, adds more confusion to me, because I'm like, why the fuck do people gatekeep and do shit like that when they don't have to?
Oh,
you
man.
Know, there's no reason to. Like, the only thing I'll do to people, like, if they want to really get some shit going or connect with you because you work with MGK, whatever it may be, it's like, point them in the right direction and let them know what they need to know to come back at you and it be undeniable.
Right.
You know, like, come to me legit. You don't just want to come and be like, oh, listen to this shit, listen to, you know, like, no, build the plan and show me why we should be listening to it. You know, like, yeah.
People want you to do it for them, basically, sometimes.
For sure.
Yeah.
None of that, yeah.
It's not real at that point.
No.
I understand. There's nothing tangible behind that.
Yeah, and, like, not in a gatekeeping way. It's just, like, you're not ready. So, like, get it ready, and then we can do something with it, you know?
December only with Aura Watch. Take 50% off the entire store. The entire store, folks. You can go online, get some great gifts for your family and your friends. Quality materials, quality watches at an affordable rate. If you want to take advantage of this, please also use the discount code ROGPODS30. That is ROGPODS30 to take advantage of the Aura Watch special.
Absolutely. Is that when you get people approaching you about whether it's who you know, things you're doing, stuff like that, is that... Yeah, you seem like somebody who, like, even for me, like, you were dope enough when we were in Cleveland. I was like, yo, I've got Zach ass, blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, yeah, come backstage.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's so dope. You know what I mean? For me, I'm a huge fan.
No, I mean, if I know you, it's like.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's amazing. You didn't have to do that.
I mean, this dude, Blaine McIntosh, he's on the Savannah Bananas. I met him that night, too, same night.
Yeah.
We were kicking it at the club, and, like. Him and I are friends. We're working on something now for next year. So, like,
yo, shout out to Savannah Bananas, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about some entertainment.
No, for sure.
Right?
I didn't even know about them until that weekend. But, like,
dude, they're selling out fucking stadiums.
Other than MGK Day, it was like, oh, the Savannah Bananas are in town. I'm like, what the
yes!
fuck is that?
You know? The Savannah Bananas are off the hook, dude.
Yep.
Menace, you'd be good at a Savannah Bananas game. I'll tell you what, he could be an umpire for the Savannah yeah. Bananas. That's my favorite part about that, like the umpire dances and shit. Y'all seen that stuff? That's so funny.
They have this new thing coming out, too. It's called Cosmic Baseball.
Okay.
It's so dope. It's all... neon at nighttime baseball. So I've seen a commercial or a clip or whatever it
might be. How the fuck does that? Is the ball glow in the dark?
The
then?
Ball is glowing too.
Yeah, I mean it would have to be.
Yeah,
that'd be really something if it wasn't, huh?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be really something if it wasn't. Does that? So
I'm really trying to do something with them.
Yeah, you want to do something with them? Is that in? Are you doing something from, you know, a totally creative space then?
No, right now I'm super focused on everything MGK. And, like, as we continue growing with that stuff, like, I'm not being selfish in the situation. You know, I'm not like, oh, now I can do this because I have his name behind me. It's like, no, I'd rather just continue growing him because it's supposed to be happening right now, even though he's huge. And, like, my shit will grow alongside it, you know? So still being within the first year of working with him, I'm like, let's just make... I'm putting all my energy in that, and when it's time for my shit to go, then it'll go, you know? So I just don't want to rush anything. Right now, if I launch my line, it just seems like a rush.
You don't want to do that.
No.
When you are working... we'll use MGK because that's where your focus is right now. That's an all day, all night event for what you have going on, right? You're connecting with all kinds of different people. You're traveling probably on a fairly regular basis.
It's different than the all day, all night I was doing with Dirk though. Cause at that time it was like almost being a day to day manager with everything. So that was really like all day, all night.
How long did you work with Dirk?
Shit, almost a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, how'd you take that news coming out?
It hurts because Dirk's like, he's a good dude, you know, from everything I saw. Like, I don't even look into the past of anybody. It's kind of like, if we're cool, then it's cool. And he's one of the realest dudes I've met. Like, it's only been solid, you know? So it hurts. Like, I hope the best, you know? And then still, like, whole crew of people that come with Dirk, because he's got a ton of different people. Like, all of them are solid. They're good fucking people. So, yeah, it hurts. I wish the best.
That's a tough space.
Yeah.
That's a tough space. But I think it's also part of the industry. I haven't been smoking. I had a heart attack on October 28th.
No way. You had a heart attack?
Yeah, at Lago with Chip there.
No way.
Swear.
What was that like?
Oh, bro, it's crazy.
Like,
I was like sitting at the bar, had a couple drinks. Dude, I was sitting at the bar. I had like two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating some salmon. I was good. And then I'm sitting there with Chip, and I'm like, we're like chopping it up, talking about nothing. And I like started just feeling like shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got up. I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And then I like looked at him. I was like, yo, bro, I'm not feeling good at all. And I like went and sat at a different table just trying to like chill out or whatever. And then I had like this terrible pressure on my chest. My heart was racing like crazy. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to. I was like, somebody call 911 because I knew I was fucked up. Mm-hmm. And like, I never called 911. You know what I mean? And they got there. They like took my pulse, took my vitals and everything. And they like were like, you just had a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I could deal with that. But I had never had a panic attack before.
Mm-hmm.
So I go home, which is right there. It's like Lago's, you know, the apartments that I live in, right across.
Yeah.
So I go and go back home or whatever. I wake up the next morning and I was like, I was still just so out of it. I was like, I just feel like shit. And so I called an Uber and I went to the hospital. And then they're like, yo, you had a heart attack.
Damn.
Yeah, and they were like, what the fuck? Why didn't you come to the hospital? I was like, because they told me I was straight. They told me I just had a panic attack. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. So, but yeah, no, you, so anyways, I haven't been smoking weed. I got to quit smoking vapes, but I quit smoking in 2024. I quit smoking cigs, which was good because I was ripping cigs.
Yep.
I was loving cigs.
I've had points in my life where I've ripped cigs,
dude,
too.
Love ripping cigs.
Yep.
Can't be doing that, though.
No.
And then, I just kind of stopped smoking weed. I think it was giving me like more anxiety than it was anything.
That happens with... I loved weed for a lot of my life, but it happens when you start slowing down on weed a little bit even. Then it makes weed different because I like the high of weed when you have a tolerance, but when you don't have a tolerance, it's like
it's miserable. Fuck this. Almost,
yeah, no, literally.
How long have you been smoking weed?
15 years.
How old are you?
31.
You're my age.
Yeah.
Were your parents like cool with you smoking weed when you were younger, or what?
No, I mean I'm the youngest child, so they weren't cool with it. More because they were worried that I would go down a worse path.
Yeah, like you start shooting heroin or something?
Yeah, they're like, he's still young and he's being stupid as fuck. Like, we just got to reel him back a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, so, definitely.
In that way, they weren't cool with it. But now they're like, I wish you wouldn't, but it's fine. You know, like, my mom doesn't really give a fuck. She's cool. But
she's cool about it now.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a big part of, like, now you have a tolerance. You can sit, you can smoke, you're chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's, like, a big part now of, like, keeping your mental or giving some creativity right now? Or is that just part of just you?
No. I mean, I don't need weed. But I like it here and there. It's Friday night and we're chilling. So I enjoy it. But now it's kind of like there's people act like weed is completely good all the time. It'll solve this, and this. Like, I had a medical card off some total bullshit when I was 18. Like, I get that side of weed where you can say it does everything, but it makes you lazy and tired in certain points. I think for most people, like, it's not gonna only do
a piece of shit when I wake and bake.
Yeah,
just like I'm not doing
groggy.
Nothing.
It's like I strive to have the just pristine lifestyle of waking up and feeling 100, not drinking, not smoking. And I keep that kind of like up here because I'm never really going to be there. But you don't want to go down here.
No.
You know?
You ever been down there?
No.
You've never gotten that? You've always been pretty...
I love like shrooms and light things, but I'm not fucking around with like heroin.
No, not like that.
And I don't like pills.
Have you ever gone like a deep, not like that. Have you ever gone like a deep dive where you're like drinking like way too much for like 6 months?
Even with drinking, like there, I feel like if I get too fucked up, I usually go home. So there's like minimal times in my life that I'll be like, man, I really regret that when I was drunk.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's like with your girl or something and you say something fucked up you didn't mean to. But other than that, like, I don't put myself out there where I'm going to be embarrassed. Like, if I had one too many, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have self-control I do not have, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, because
I say some out-of-pocket shit after a couple drinks, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't even take a couple drinks. I'm sober right now, and I say out-of-pocket shit anyways.
No, somehow, like, I just don't think I change into a different person when I'm drunk. So even if I say more than I would have meant to, I'm like, still, that's me. You know, even if it's texting somebody or whatever, I'm like, all right, I get why I said that.
Do you know how rare that is?
Yeah, it's rare.
It's rare, bro. For sure. My Uncle Ron is the same way. My Uncle Ron, bro, can sit and get fucking lit. Mm-hmm. And he is the same dude the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
With me, I already have like an ego. And then if you give me alcohol, it just fucking inflates. It just gets so much worse.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of drinks for it to get to like really bad. I don't really try to hit that space anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little mouthy. I get a little mouthy after a couple drinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's actually really interesting. There's very few people out there that are like that, that have the ability to have that self-control, and that you do actually truly value that next morning. You think about that.
Yeah.
That's a thought.
I mean, yeah, I wake up late sometimes, but I'm always like, shit, if your body feels like it needs it, just give it to it, which I have the luxury of like being able to do that here and there within my schedule, because I'm not having to be on Zooms at 9 every morning.
Yeah.
But in general, it's like, yeah, I like to feel good in the morning and have a good day, you know,
what
and get shit done. Like, if you're hungover or feeling shitty all the time every day during the week, it's like you're not going to get shit done.
I feel like people are able to normalize that for themselves, too, because they do it so much, and then they just think, like, oh, that's just, like, how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really it.
Yeah, I think that happens to a lot of people.
What kind of advice would you give somebody, maybe even in my space, where, like, I'm, like, really beginning in, like, a podcast situation?
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for, like, 2 years, but it's really still in its infancy, because any of the bigger podcasts that are out there that have been, you know, going for a long time, or anybody for that matter that's in a creative space out here, what kind of advice would you give them as far as like what is important on a regular basis to keep around you, or things that you're doing to stay up on, you know, things going around, you know what I mean, like, just kind of all in a general answer, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
I would say one of my favorite parts of working in corporate is that it teaches you how to set goals. And if you're going to do anything in life, you need to set goals and work towards them, and like have some sort of a schedule that you follow, like, or milestones that you're going to reach to be able to get to that goal. So it's like, if you're just aimlessly waking up in the morning and you don't have a plan of like what your side project is, then it's never going to happen.
Right.
You know, so like, make measurable goals that you can reach and chip away at it. Because if you don't have some sort of a plan, it's like you're not going to jump from here to there without having those in between. So like, just plan out the in betweens, you know.
Do you, okay, so that's a good lead into this then for you. Are you good on batteries? You're giving me, you just did like a high sign. What was that? All right, well, we're about to finish in a few minutes.
No, it's all good. I feel
we hired a black guy, though. Let me ask this, though, real quick.
Yep.
Because this is a good point. I appreciate that advice more than you know. When you're in that in-between stage,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you're maybe feel like you're spinning your tires sometimes.
Yep.
Right? What are you doing in that space to keep your mental like just in check, right? Are you just not? Is it a not give up, or what? Where are you at there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a not give up, and like, you don't deserve where you like, or not. Like, nobody owes you where you're at in life, and you gotta keep going to maintain it. You know, so like, even if you're in a good spot in life, like, you still have to continue pushing in that way. You can't just fizzle out, and you know, because then it could all go away. You know, like, there's things and people that rely on you to continue doing what you're doing, and you're where you're at because you're gonna keep doing it, you know.
Yeah, it's some really good advice. And for anybody out there that's, you know, listening or watching, that's like so important, I think. And it doesn't really have to necessarily be in a space that's like this. I think it could be no matter what your goals are or what your job is, you could really apply that, because I know from personal experience that not giving up has brought me to greater levels. And having goals, when I first started this, I didn't have goals, and once I started setting goals, I don't want to say it became easier, but it almost became easier. Because I had something in mind, because I was always trying different angles to get to places.
Yeah.
Right. So, and for anybody that's listening or watching, like, whatever you're doing, fucking keep going, dude, because it's important. It's important to you, and, you know.
And I would say in any situation like both of ours, for sure, but like, as long as you keep yourself good and you're the one doing a good job and blah, blah, blah. You could have some random person on the podcast that just does a bullshit job and it doesn't turn out how you wanted. But like, as long as you still have the backbone of like yourself and you keep it good, then it's like on to the next. You know?
Yeah. I think that's a great point. And I've had that, and I'm sure you've met quite a few people in your space that have, you're like, you had an expectation and it wasn't whatever it was going to be.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, and but I think I made the mistake of only wanting celebrities on my podcast at first.
Yep.
Because I was like, oh, this is what everybody else wants. Yep. And then I was like, wait a second, like, now I'm like, I just want people that I love on my podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For because sure. Then I can sit here and have a good dialogue, and we can have laughs, and we can have fun, and and shit like that. We could talk about basically anything.
But I mean, even if you still, like, if you were like, man, I want to get a ton of people listening to this and get sponsors and blah, 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 and that's like a goal of yours.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're still saying yourself, you're going to keep the same fan base, because that's really what they're watching for.
Yeah.
Like, the other person on there is just like, they're a great addition and it might bring in some new fans, but you got to build your core ones from just always being the same.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been fairly consistent with that, but yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, I like doing stuff I'm interested in,
for sure,
you know. And like, for you, I think more so than anything, what caught my eye, and even, you know, Mark and I had spoken and about you on a couple of occasions. I've told Matt about you. Talked to Dizzy about you, and you know, everybody just sat there and they're all like, yo, how does this motherfucker get all these contacts? You know, and then that's when we, you know, it was a pointed question about you having those skills, because out here, it's nothing to go to a, you know, a different place or whatever, you know, oh, I know so-and-so, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is different when you're the guy who, oh, like, no, like, this is actually what I do.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's actually what you do, which is crazy. So, I do talk about like mental health on this podcast, and what would you say like is important for you, for your mental health on like a regular basis? Like, what do you do to take care of yourself?
I would say, you know, that it hasn't all been highs. Like, there's been low points where you're not feeling like you want to keep doing it or you're not there, but like a consistency that I can tell is like, make sure what you're putting in your body is how you want your mind to feel, because the older you get, it's like, you're not gonna feel good if you're just getting fucked up every night in your head too, you know. It's kind of like, let's say you have a crazy Saturday night, and then Sunday it's just like the Sunday scaries of like where you don't want to start the week, and it's like, yeah, because you were wrecked all weekend. Like, Sunday's maybe a day for it to like wear off, but you don't want it to be every day like that, you know? And then same goes for food. Like, what you're eating makes a big difference. The people you surround yourself around, I would say, is probably the biggest outside of everything, you know? Like, you're going to be a bum if you're hanging out with a bunch,
yeah,
you know? So, yeah, I mean, and set goals too. Like, that definitely keeps you going in your mind of, like, you still have something you want to achieve. But if you're just waking up every day with nothing to look forward to, then it can get monotonous.
Do you have a, like, tendency to, like, always try to give yourself something to look forward to? I've heard that from people before.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's times where you don't, like, where you just want to chill and not do shit, but, like, where's that going to get you? Man. You know?
Yeah, it's a scary space, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, the world's in a scary place in a lot of different ways. So, like, I feel obligated to try to be one of the people that, like, pushes it forward in the right way instead of in a weird social media heavy or whatever it may be way. Like, I think my traveling has taught me a lot of that. Like, when you go to Europe, it's like they don't work nearly as much as we do here. And they're all enjoying just, like, spending time with other people and having dialogue. And, like, I think it's a lot healthier of a way of living. Like, it's hard in the U.S., for sure.
It's just very different. It's very, I think even in L.A., to your point right there, it's everybody's trying to, not everybody, but a lot of people are trying to, like, one-up the next person or whatever it might be. They're not just staying in their own lane worrying about themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I still think outside of, like, just work stuff and pumping, like, it's also important to just be a human being, you know, and connect with others and enjoy life, because work's not everything at the end of the day, you know?
No, hell no. But you've seemingly built a life around what you love.
For sure, yeah. I think that's just, like, me being who I am. And then also, like, you know, artists are, there's so many different types of artists and creative people, and it's like I think I've blended business and creativity in, like, the best way possible, because I don't just want to be painting shit all day and, like, not have a plan of how to sell the paintings, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a mix of both.
So you have essentially a real job, mm-hmm. which it is a real job, but at the same time it's like the dopest shit ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you have your own clothing.
Yep.
That you're working on. That's like a, I don't want to call it a side quest because it's going to be big. I mean, let's fucking be real.
Appreciate it.
And then, I mean, that's the mentality I always try to keep.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And
that's why it's going to be the right time.
There you go.
Happens.
And then you have the stuff that you also enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but you've also figured out a way to monetize it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's fucking incredible, bro.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
Fucking incredible for you.
Yeah,
I'm so happy for you because, you know, and I've done quite a few podcasts with quite a few different people, and I am from very different spaces, kind of from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, the most miserable people I know are the ones that all they do is they have, like, one thing they do,
mm-hmm.
and that's it, right? They don't really give themselves space to do anything else.
For sure.
And so you should be really proud of yourself that you're, like, kind of tackling a bunch of different kinds of things.
Yeah.
The last question I ask everybody on this podcast is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy would you consider yourself to be? And if it's not a 10, what do you think you could do to get yourself to a 10?
I would say I'm, like, a 9 for sure. Getting to 10 would take, I think, just getting myself healthy in a good place, eating everything, you know, like, I'll still have my slips on all that stuff, but just keep pushing. And then to be really fully at 10, I would say have my brand out, get some of the things that I can, like, start to really make a name for myself, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're doing it, you want it to be your name out there, too.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love the honesty behind that, too. What's your brand called, by the way?
It's called Pazzesco Maggione, which means crazy house in Italian. And the reason it's crazy house is because I'm crazy about learning about anything that anybody does in the most passionate form, you know? So like if you're somebody that crafts the best houses or something, like I love to hear the story or the, but it's more focused in on like the art aspect of things. So like I want to work with the best painters in the world, the best graffiti artists in the world, the best ceramic makers in the world, the best, you know. So like I would say a lot of my stuff in business, even with what I do now, like I love collaborating with people and making cool shit. So like that's really the basis of the brand. And like we talked about earlier, I don't just want to make garbage and things that'll get broken or forgotten about or the print washes out or whatever it may be. Like I hope vintage stores and quality products live on instead of just being something of the past, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And I think for everybody, you know, watching and listening as well, I think like one of the big things we can take from Jake today is, and I could do a better job of this too, is no matter how big you are, or how big the people you are surrounded with on a regular basis, to always be a student, and how important that is, because you can tell, like you're a true student.
I love it. Yeah. Like I think knowledge is the funnest thing in life. Like who doesn't want to know as much as they can know? You know, there's so many different like fascinating parts about the world in general, you know? So yeah, that's what I love. I love traveling is a huge thing for me. Like it's crazy to me to think of how many different parts of the world there are. I've just been to Europe mostly. I've been to Mexico, Canada, but it's like even within all those regions alone, there's so many places I haven't visited. And it's such a different like form of thinking and everything from what we're used to just being in a bubble. Like LA is definitely a bubble. Yeah. I even tell people this. I'm like, if you've never been down to San Diego or like those parts of California, like those are what California is. Like LA's beaches suck compared to the other beaches California, bro. You know, and we're just in California. So it's like, imagine how many different things you can learn and see. Like, that's what gets me excited for sure.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal. My son just went to San Diego. I have cousins in La Jolla.
Yeah.
And he learned, you know, he started learning how to surf.
Mm-hmm.
He's 8. And just to see his eyes light up with something new, something, you know what I'm saying? Just to that point where it's like that forever hunger to want to learn. And then it seems like you're kind of the same as me in that standpoint. When you go other places, it just kind of gives you want more.
For sure.
Right? You're I wonder what this place is like then.
Totally. Yeah, like even if you go to Paris or wherever it is in the world, you're like, what are the other cities in France like? You know, France is so sick.
Yeah.
Like there's so many things to see and do. It's like, don't get complacent and just chill and do nothing all the time, because time goes fast
too. Man, doesn't it?
It goes so fast. And it gets less and less when you're old.
You know, it goes even faster when you're older.
Faster when you're old. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's crazy.
It goes crazy. But, well, bro, I can't thank you enough for coming on here. You've been amazing to me. You gave us some great advice today on just, like, the space that you work in, the things that you do, how you've gotten here, being a student, setting goals. And then I think, like, all of us are excited to see what you have coming in the future.
Yep.
And we're all rooting for you, man. So whatever we can do for you here, you are always welcome. We'll definitely have you back.
You're my guy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you, seriously. Yep. More than you know.
Yep.
And until next time, thanks again.
Check out Automotive Customs in Valley View, Ohio, 5440 Warner Road, Valley View, Ohio, 44125, to check out their new $49.99 oil change special, up to 5 quarts, and check out their new holiday specials as well. Check out Automotive Customs, 216-232-4158. Call for more.